North Meeting House, the first Sunday in June 1977. Elder Prescott from North Carolina is the guest speaker this morning.
Thank you.
At the request of Brother Prescott, I tried to introduce the services this morning, and I affirmed to pay 100 to use as an having to introduce. Let's be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kingdom mind is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, before our heart in prayer, our hope is, our hope, our aim for the one, our comfort and our joy. Let us stand and sing all right. Page 100.
Gathered us together at this time and place. so well, but only thou couldst so order it, that we should come, and thou should so order it that we should worship thee in spirit and truth. We realize that everything that we have, Father, and everything that we are by thy grace. Everything we shall ever be, in this life or that life to come, we realize that by thy tender mercies and grace, that thou hast brought us out of darkness into thy marvelous light. We pray thee, Father, that it is thy will to send forth thy spirit into our hearts this morning. Take us away, the wanderings of our mind away from the vain and the perish and foolish things of this life. Set them upon things which are heavenly and divine. Give us of thy spirit that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. Thou knowest, Lord, what we are. Thou knowest our needs, thou hast promised never leave nor forsake us. And surely, though we from time to search after thee and could not find thee, and yet we realize that thy all-seeing eye and thy will and thy mercy and thy purposes are surrounding us at all times. Be with us, thy poor Father, this morning. That we might, above everything else in the world, to be desirous of exalting, praising, lifting up thy name above every name that is ever been. We realize that the worship of thee, our God, comes down from heaven. Does not originate in these four mortal bodies of ours. We pray thee, therefore, that it seems good to thee, that thou wouldst stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance of the wonderful and glorious things that thou hast done for us. Pray thee, therefore, O Lord, to be with us. Give us hearing ears and understanding heart. Above all things, we pray thee, Lord, that it is thy will, that thou wilt remember our dear brother Prescott, as he shall come before this congregation, blessed if it is thy will to preach the everlasting gospel of the Son of God, and to contend earnestly for the faith that thou hast once delivered to us. Oh, thou knowest, Father, what each one of us need. Thou knowest our secret thoughts. Thou knowest what we stand in need of. We pray thy will be done, and that thou wouldst give us grace to be perfectly satisfied with whatever thy will is concerning each one of us. We would not undertake, Father, to tell thee what thou wantest to do. But we come, Father, and we enter up in the name of that mediator, the only mediator between thee and us, praying in his name that thou would have pity and compassion, that thou would be not only these that are gathered here this morning, but wherever throughout the whole earth. Thy people are gathered together in thy name, that thou would enable them to worship thee, even as we hope, pray that thou would enable us. Bless our dear brother, Father, with the presence of thy spirit, and give him grace, that he might speak words of truth and soberness. Bless each one of us with a hearing ear and an understanding heart. Give us grace, Lord. We need thy grace every day, every moment, every hour that we live. Nothing is sufficient but the amazing grace of thee, our God. So stir up our pure minds, we pray. Father, be with us all while we live. And when we come to the end of our mortal mortality, each one of us, that we shall not be afraid to go hence, realizing that thou hast promised never to leave nor forsake us, but will be with us even unto the end of the world. Grant us grace, therefore, that we might calmly await the outcome of that heavenly, glorious manifestation of thy mercy to us, that we shall be brought forth in full triumph of the grace of our God. Give us hope, strengthen us, Father, that so we need thy grace so much, all the time, nothing else to do. So we pray thee to be with us now and thy people everywhere. May thy name have all the praise and the honor and the glory, both now and evermore, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. First of all, I want to welcome all of us here. We're glad to have everyone out to visit us. And we hope that the Lord will give each one of us a good year. And it is our desire, if it is the Lord's will, that people be our God's Prescott by His Spirit and give Him a door of utterance that they might boldly proclaim the everlasting gospel of Son God. Many of you have heard of the Prescott. Some of you have not. But we pray that the Lord will give him the liberty, according to his will, that we have seen him exercise this upon several occasions. So wonderful, so glorious is the Lord our God and his true servant, that he enables them to contend earnestly for that faith that he delivered. So we call on Brother Prescott to come forward, and may the Lord uphold him in all that we undertake this morning, giving us a hearing ear in our sound heart.
Now, if you want to sing it then, I'll get it.
Understand me, dear people, to say that I desire to be judged after the flesh. But I believe that God's people, having judgment set up into their hearts, the judgment of God, as it were, there is a means by whereby that they judge each other with that same judgment. I confess to you people this morning that I have come in a very destitute feeling condition. Not only in reality as it is, but I feel it. I find myself, after good brethren, a kind to ask me to come. And I agree to fill an appointment. And then I find myself questioning, why did I do it? Why do I continue to accept and agree to go to these places? I trust the only answer that I have to that this morning is something that took place a few years after this occasion that I referred to, that there was something else took place with me. The Lord began, and I believe this was the work of God, the Lord began to work a work. It pleased the Lord to begin to exercise me in a way that I began to have dreams. I don't want to tire anyone. I know that the little brother Joseph, those that didn't understand, those that were not blessed to understand the depth and the workings of God in this matter, they called him a dreamer, you know. They didn't have much use for it. But the Lord began to show me things. And again, that there come a time when I was made willing to present my body again before God's people. And I trust from time to time, dear people, that that has never left me until this day. That I am yet made willing to go before God's people. Oh, there's no question of whether we will manifest our weaknesses. There's one thing about it, dear people, if God has ever shown you yours, you know something about mine. And if he's never shown you yours, I could stand here all day and tell you about mine and you still wouldn't know what I was talking about. Thanks be unto God that he has worked a work in his people that not only has caused them to know something of themselves, but in that they know something about their brother. And a great peculiarity here is that as much as we love to go among the brethren and hear the wonderful gifts, hear the gospel of the Son of God expounded, there's a realization at the same time that if that be, we know where it comes from. We're not expecting anything out of the man. Thank God for that. I appreciate this opportunity as well as the others to come among you people. Most of you know that I come from a little community way down in Carolina, off the East Coast. And I confess again, dear people, that I didn't have anything to bring. I trust that something brought me that I was talking about. And I would this morning that God would enable us to come together as the dear brother was blessed to speak in his prayer, that he would bless us to come together and witness to something that I believe God's people have in common, regardless where they come from, regardless what area that they spend their time in a natural sense. If God would just bless us to not dishonor or disgrace the cause. Think about this, dear people. This is not preaching. This is just talking. But an individual, a man in nature, left to himself, he would not only disgrace himself, but he would disgrace the very cause. He would dishonor his God. This is the weakness of humanity. We desire that God would keep us in such a way. He does not bless me this morning to speak as I would desire, may he keep me from presenting anything or attempting to you that would not conform to sound doctrine. I have no desire to advocate anything other than to preach Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, the only name given under heaven among men, whereby that we must be saved. I suppose, all of the other dear elders, the ministers that go among, I pondered many scriptures this morning. What shall I read? What can I turn to as a text that might appear to have already become shopworn by me, you know, those that hear me quite often? And I, from time to time, go back to some scriptures that I have tried to use before. I think about all those things. Why am I doing it? Sometimes I believe I have a desire to go back to some of the beauties that God has had mercy in time past and blessed us to rejoice in. Sometimes it pleases God to reveal those to us again, and sometimes it pleases him to withhold. And we find, as it was that time, the marker has been moved from the scripture, so to speak. But I will call your attention, the Lord willing, to some of the scripture of the prophet Amos in the Old Testament in the 7th chapter. And we will read, and may God bless us with an understanding. Beginning with the 7th verse of the 7th chapter. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. That's two verses, the 7th and 8th verse. I believe, dear people, again, let me express that the doctrine of God our Savior is set forth in those two verses as clearly, as strongly, as thoroughly as we will find it in any place in Holy Writ. This doctrine that we love, this doctrine of God's electing grace, the doctrine of predestination. If I could this morning, I would preach to you the effects of these things that I have mentioned, which are embraced into these things. We are not afraid or timid to use the terms that are expressed at times by some of our people, and we do. I'm not allergic to using certain phrases, as I have mentioned. But I would that God would embrace us and bless us to go into the essence of the matter. And how it affects us. How are we affected daily in these things? How does God deal with us today? Oh, we find in the scriptures that God is of one mind, and who can turn him? As I have thought, Isaiah, if you please, As I have thought, so shall it be, as I have purposed, so shall it come to pass. Declaring the end from the beginning, and saying things from ancient times, things not yet done, saying that my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasures. All of these are truths that are set forth in the Scriptures, which has to do with us each day that we live in this life. Do we believe this morning that our path was set before us before we ever got here? I trust that you do. I believe you do. And I will affirm unto you, if I'm out of the sea mortal, that's what I believe. Now we find here that the Lord took this one Amos, this prophet, and he showed him something. Do we believe that God today is showing his people something? Dear people, that's what I was referring to just a moment ago, when I believe the effectual working of God into his people, working his determinate counsel in them, bringing to pass that which he has preordained, set in motion, and is carrying out according to his own will. These things, how they are wrought in us, being conformed, there is a conforming going on. Oh yeah, we go back and we quote Paul, for whom he did predestinate, then he also, then he foreknew, then he also did predestinate, and so on, to be conformed to the image of his Son. I believe, dear people, that there is a conforming here in time with God's people. Now then, we have never believed, I trust, never advocated, that there is a regeneration of the flesh. We believe that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But here is one of the greatest mysteries that I don't believe that all of mankind, with all of his knowledge and wisdom, has ever understood: the completeness of this working, of how God does work in his people, conforming them to the image of his only Son. Let me reform unto you one thing, dear people. Some people might think that this conforming will be done in yonder's world. Not so, my brethren. Let me tell you, when God's people awake in his likeness, as David proclaimed it, they'll be like him, and there'll be nothing more conforming then. This conforming that takes place among God's people and with them is in this lifetime, and I can't explain it, and I don't believe any other man can. But God just takes this vessel as he did Amos, and he shows him something. He didn't tell Amos something. He didn't attempt to show Amos something. He didn't say, now Amos, if you'll cooperate with me and if you'll just give me your attention, I'll tell you something. But he showed Amos something. And what was it? He showed him the Lord to begin with. Think about this, dear people, and what is embraced in one seeing the Lord. I believe this very work of regeneration, being born again, that God works in his people, certainly we believe in that. We believe in this regeneration, the second birth, being born again, not of this nature, but of the incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. Well, when this work begins, I believe, and God shows his people something, I believe he shows them something that they have never seen before in more ways than one. I believe before a poor sinner will ever be able to view that is the beauties of the kingdom of heaven, which I believe that from time to time he blesses us to see, the beauty that there is in it, I believe he showed them something else first. What is it, my dear people? It's what they are. He shows them what they are. Oh, then that brings on something else, does it not? I ask you people this morning, if it has pleased God, and I believe it has, when he arrested you, oh yes, I believe, I use phrases sometimes to present a point. I trust that it pleased my God to arrest this boy. I thank God that I've never been guilty of crimes that would have sent me to the penitentiary and so on and so forth, but by the grace of God I would have been. Oh yes, but it still, there come a time that I was arrested. I believe that God arrested me. I'll tell you, when I was carried before the judgment bar of God, I believe that there was a condemnation. I've got a confident, my dear people, that I had never known before. Think about the difference, my dear people, of a man standing and telling you that you're sinners. Why, there's no one could deny that. There's no one can take the scriptures and deny that we're not all sinners by nature and by practice. But God's people know it beyond the letter, don't they? They know something about it, the depths of it. That's what I'm talking about. And this morning, when we speak of this doctrine, we don't only want it in letter, my dear people, but we want the essence of the matter right deep down into our hearts, that we might rejoice in the delivering hand of God. Oh, yes, if we know anything about the condemnation of God, I believe God does a perfect work. I believe He does a complete work. So then, if we have ever felt the just condemnation of God into our hearts, that we were sinking down and could not do that, could not lift ourselves up, then I believe if we have not, we will see a deliverance in that time. So then, as it was, the Lord showed Amos, He showed him the Lord standing upon a wall. I think about this wall sometimes. We've seen some beautiful work out of masonry. We have some wonderful craftsmen that build beautiful things. But you know this wall, I think about that sometimes, and I've thought about this wall that He said shall be around about Jerusalem. As a wall round about Jerusalem, so am I round about my people. And upon this wall, the very foundation that this was, that He was standing upon, think about that, my dear people. I think about the foundation of the church of God, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The Lord was standing upon this wall, and let me tell you one thing, it was not predicated upon the works of men. This wall was not built by men, but it was the very works, the solid foundation that the church of God is set upon today. Aren't we glad this morning that this is not a flimsy thing of man? Aren't we glad? Oh, as one said, for we know that if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, but this is the building of God. The Lord showed this to Amos, and He showed the Lord standing upon this wall. I'll tell you what He was standing upon. He was standing upon the finished work that there was in Him, my dear people. And I want to tell you people this morning, if we're standing, that's what we're standing upon. And if we reach that beautiful city of great beyond, we'll be standing on it then, and nothing less. Nothing less. The Lord showed this to Amos, and the Lord was standing upon a wall made by a plumb line. Think about this, my dear people. Those of you that know anything about the building industry, and as it goes on, and many times that we have to have something as a gauge to go by. Oh, this old natural, you know, I used to have a real sharp eye. I could look almost at a post or whatever it might be, and I could tell whether it was standing straight or not, or if it was out of square. But you know, my eyes are not what they used to be. I can't do that anymore. But even when they were at their best, there was imperfection in that. There was imperfection. Therefore, we needed something more perfect to go by, to be governed by. So it was that God, when He showed this to Amos, the Lord was standing there, and He had that in His hand. Oh, yes, which is nothing more than the knowledge of perfection that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are blessed to see this perfection as it is shown to a poor creature in his nature, let me tell you, it'll not only do as a plumb line will when you put it up against a crooked wall or whatever it may be, it'll show up all of the defects. Oh, my people, this is a beautiful work that God has wrought, and I love to think about the simple terms of which as scriptures are full of that God used and enabled His servants and the writers to liken things unto, taking the very simple things of His creation and liking them unto the very kingdom of God. Oh, my brethren, how beautiful is it? Isn't it a wonderful thing today when we can see, as it were, all the incidents that take place in our lives also, that is simply a parable, as it were, of God enabling us to see these things taking place within us and likening them unto the kingdom of God, So he said, as the Lord stood upon this wall made by a plumb line, then also it was not only made with a plumb line, but he still had that plumb line in his hand. Aren't we glad today, my dear people? As I said a while ago, oh, sometimes we become nervous. Sometimes we shrink back. We feel like this is the greatest people that's ever been, to the most powerful people in the world. But aren't you glad today that your destiny does not rest into the hands of men, but by one that is able to administer this justice in a right and an acceptable manner? So then, he has his plumb line in his hand. What is that for? I believe that everything that God has ever used in the working with one of his people has been for their good. Now then, we get into something here. I know that all men don't believe this, and I can't help it. And God forbid that I try to go out and convince anybody of anything. But if God will bless me, I'm just to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Somehow or another, I believe in some great mysterious way. I'm not going to tell you that I understand it, but somehow I want to affirm unto you that I believe what Paul said when he said, for we do know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. My dear people, let me tell you this morning. I've been through many heartaches. I've had many sadnesses in my life. I've had many crosses, and I still haven't to bear. But somehow or another, I believe the time comes with me from time to time. And somehow right now, I want to thank God for every one of them. But somehow or another, I believe that it's took every bump along life's way to bring me this morning before you people, that if it be God's will, that I might point you to this man that holds the plumb line in his hand today, and he's yet revealing this unto someone. Oh yes, my people. So then, the Lord, when he stood upon that plumb line, he had it in his hand. We think about again, as we mentioned a while ago, about God's creation. Yes, that's right. Let's not, by the grace of God, leave that out. God created the world. And brethren, I don't believe that man can show anything that God did not create in his creation. Is there anything that came by itself? No, it didn't. Not from a created thing. God created it, and he created it for himself. And when we think about it, the beautiful forest and the trees out there, God created them, and he put them for purpose, and they are serving. But when it comes time to go into that forest and to cut this timber down that it might go into this building, may God bless us to consider here just a few moments that this building that we are now housed in, at one time the very material that you're seated to have, from the day I was standing in some far somewhere, a living thing, if you please, and it had to be cut down, it had to be severed from the life that it was living in order to serve the purpose that God had ordained. Oh, my brethren, this thing, someone would say, that you're getting into too fine details here, or not so, my brethren. They have an importance into this thing that we're talking about. So then, when that tree is cut down, what's the first thing that's done? It's sent to a mill. It has to be worked over again. And then it's when that plumb line comes into use again. Oh, yes, those of you that know anything about the processing of this timber, what it has to go through with. There's some knots on it, isn't there? There's some rough places on it. And when one is run, a piece is run through a sizing machine, the first thing it does, it cuts off all of those rough things, and it sizes it, if you please. Then we find that it goes on further than that, doesn't it? Somehow or other, I believe God's people know something about this refining that takes place in their lives. Then that timber is sent on to a finer, if you please, which brings it down even more. Let me tell you, my people, that somehow or other, I believe that the doctrine of God's God's grace is so pure that God's people have to be wrought upon in such a way that all these things have to be wrought upon and hewn down to where that this thing fits. Oh, we think about one being wrought upon to fit in the church of God. My dear people, let me tell you something has to be done for the doctrine of God our Savior to have a place in one's heart. Oh, yes, it's got to fit. Did you know some people say that's a hard doctrine that we've been talking about? My dear people, it's the most sweetest thing that I've ever feasted upon in my life. To feast upon the sure mercies of David. This doctrine of God our Savior. And this is the work, I believe, what the Lord was showing Amos when he showed him the Lord standing upon that wall. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? Don't you know that when the Lord revealed this unto Amos, as I said while ago, Amos saw something that he had never seen before. I just want to mention something right here. I don't believe that any man has ever been able to tell what God has blessed him to see. My dear people, I've been trying to stand before God's people now for about 20 years and tell them some of the things that I believe that God showed me. I told you a while ago that God began to show me dreams. Oh, yes, and I didn't understand it. I didn't understand these things. And I began to ponder and I began to ask questions. How did you know God's people? And they don't even know it. Are these people that begin to search? Aren't we glad that the scriptures are fulfilled right in them? That's some of this work. The scripture says, seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given. Brethren, those are not Armenian texts. Those are the purity of the word of God. And I believe that every one of them are fulfilled right in this conforming that we're talking about. And they continue to go on in a child of God in this life. So then, when the Lord begins to show one, I believe when the Lord asked Amos, what did he see? Do you suppose that Amos was ever enabled to tell the Lord what he had seen in his purity? No, I don't believe he did. I don't believe that one will ever tell it in this life in its completeness. But somehow or another, I believe the Lord showed it to him. And he asked him, what seest thou? And Amos answered, and he said, a plumb line, if you please. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people. Oh, yes, my people, aren't we glad that it's there today? I believe, I know that this people are just preaching a doctrine today. That preaches, yes, I believe that God loves this people. I believe that he calls them with an effectual calling and that he brings them in to the church, and then they're on their own, and your blessings are based upon your obedience. If you compare, if you cooperate with the Lord, that you can make your road easier. I'm brethren, away with that doctrine. I don't believe a word of it. I believe, as I said a while ago, that my steps are ordered of the Lord. Yes, I do. And my blessings, my brethren, was treasured in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And I believe that I will receive everyone. And sometimes there is this, guys. Here's the mystery behind this thing. You know, human nature feels it a blessing. And here's the word that they're the good things that we look upon in nature. Bless your hearts this morning. I believe that the greatest blessing that a poor sinner has ever received are the adverse things to his nature, which serves, as I mentioned a while ago, as a trimming down, a cutting down. Let me tell you, I believe the scriptures bear this out. When it says, there is hope for a tree if it be cut down, my dear people. Let me tell you, there has to be a change taking place in the one before he will fit into this building that we were talking about a while ago. But thanks be unto God that he not only has that plumb line in his hand, and he said he'd set it in the midst of God's people. And as I started to mention a minute ago, instead of calling them in and then setting them on their own as root hog or God, that's a crude expression to make, but I trust you'll bear with me in some of my expressions. I believe that God is continuing with his people daily that we live in this life. And this is it. This is the love of God put into effect that he lives in him. He says, as I live, ye shall live also. And I want to preach of God this morning that even though nearly 2,000 years ago that hung upon the tree and poured out his life's blood and gave up the ghost, if you please, and went into the tomb for 3 days. But I want to preach one that not even the tomb could hold, my brethren, that came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I want to preach a doctrine this morning that will embrace every child of God ever said, not only in this life, that even though you have it rough, even though the road becomes rugged, sometimes it feels like that we go so low that you just won't go anymore. How many times have you ever gone home and promised your Lord that you just wouldn't go home, or that you just wouldn't go anymore, that I'll just stay home? Well, my people, if you have it, I have, and I still continue to do it, but I find myself unable to do it, and I'm thankful that I can't do it, and because this is my life, this is my meat, and this is my drink, and I believe that this timeline that God sets in the middle of in the midst of his people Israel, I will keep them and lead them in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you understand it, my dear people? I'm plagued, I'm tossed to and fro, I'm by the principles that dwell in my flesh, that's my warfare, my brethren, that's what gives me my trouble. It's not my brethren that's my trouble. I know that there are things take place that give us a great concern, and if we love God's people, when one's in trouble, it hurts us too. You can't cut your finger off without the hand being affected. My dear people, so rightly, I trust we're concerned. But when you compare this thing to the concern of God's people, it's the principles that I live with in this flesh. And I believe, my dear people, I believe that you believe it too, that it not been for that timeline that God has set in the midst of his people, we'd get to be it for the righteous people, wouldn't we? We'd get to be just like the Armenian world. I think that we've got it made, so to speak, and that we're getting along good, and that we're as good as most people and better than the rest of them, so far as that goes. But God has set a timeline in the midst of his people, and it will keep them, it will forever show them where that perfection is, forever, wilderness is. How many times do we go among these old soldiers? I told some of them in the yard, did you know a week ago yesterday, I was privileged to go into the water with a dead brother that's been following around these old school Baptists longer than I'm old, I suppose. And he told me, he said, how many years have I wanted to go and I couldn't. Do we believe that? Do we believe that there's a set time? I do, my people, as much as this time line was set in the midst of Israel, my people. I believe that there is a time and a place and a purpose to everything under the shining courts of heaven, and the time come, and thank God that he looked upon me and blessed me in mercy that I might go in the water. Oh, I didn't feel worthy. No, I didn't feel worthy. But I thank my God that he has set this thing for me that I might participate and go in the water and help baptize that, I believe, child of God. Oh, no, now let's not become confused here. Let us not have a sitting out there. We want to preach a doctrine that is true and right. And we do not preach a doctrine that water baptism is essential to salvation. But I'll tell you, it's only for the perfecting of being here in this life. You know, John, in one instance, said that he come to make ready a people prepared of the Lord. And one of those things that was ordained for John to do was to baptize his own Savior. He didn't feel worthy to, but he had to, because it's becoming to us to fulfill our right. righteousness. I say again, how we do not preach a doctrine that water baptism is essential to eternal salvation. But bless your heart, isn't it a beautiful thing when God's turn comes and brings one of those whom he has ordained, whom he has predestinated, and to be conformed to the image of his blessed Father, and whom he did foreknow, then he also called. And then he called, he also justified. Then he justified, he also glorified. And I want to preach a doctrine this morning that God has so perfected this thing that who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, because it is God that is justified, even the one, as I said a while ago, that has arisen and ascended unto heaven. And I want to tell you, aren't we glad that he prayed for his people before he left here? And not only that, but I believe that he's yet making intercessions for them with groanings which cannot be uttered. No man's never been able to tell what that plumb line set in the midst of Israel will reveal unto him. He'll never be able to tell it. But isn't it a wonderful thing just to behold and to know that God is yet upon his throne today? Yes, we believe he's working all things after the counsel of his own will. And this, I believe, is part of that, is that part of that work which God reveals unto himself. We believe that God has saved his people with an everlasting salvation, that none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. The Savior said, the Father which gave me is greater than all, for the Father which gave me is greater than all. Then we think about this work of regeneration and this contrast, and we don't say this to blast unbelievers or to criticize those that don't agree with us. But did you know this very scripture in John where we read the blessed Savior saying that no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him? And then again we find him saying that no man comes unto the Father except by me. Brethren, I believe that's what this plumb line will teach one. That's what it will cause him to believe. And I'll tell you, there's a difference in this too. We're accused sometimes of preaching a doctrine that God just takes his people and he is one with the hair and he turns them just any way. We don't preach that, brethren. We preach that God works in his people both the will and the do. We preach it as the prophet expressed it, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with love and kindness have I drawn thee. This plumb line that God sets in the midst of his people, there is a drawing. You know, you can take this universe. I'm not an educated man, so far as the natural education is concerned, but there is a magnetic pole which the whole world revolves around. I don't claim that I understand it, but I believe it. Somehow or another, I've heard people say that they didn't believe me and went to the moon. I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe they got there, and I believe God purposed for them to get there. All of those things, I don't know what will take place, but somehow or another, I believe this plumb line set in the midst of God's people is that magnetic thing which we call the North Pole, and that the world is revolving around it, in this realm in which God's people exist. I believe that there's a world that God's people live in, and I believe that there's a world out here that is creation. I don't know whether all people will agree with that or not. I believe there is the realm in which the scripture that men use to base this Arminian theory, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, brethren, I believe there's a different world under consideration here than the whole created world, the world, the natural world. I believe there's a world in which God's people are put into, and I believe that that is the one that he so loved, that he gave his only begotten Son, that they should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to bring my remarks to a close here by saying this one thing. As I said a while ago about not being able to tell the fullness of the beauty, I don't feel like that anyone has ever been blessed to present all of the beauties of a text as it was. But I'm just so thankful, my dear brethren, that God gives us these little crumbs, as it was, these little crumbs of purpose along the way, which keeps us following along and wanting more, my dear people. Did you know there's another great contrast in God's people? God knows just how to keep them following along behind them. And you know why they do it? Because they're hungry. They began to hunger, and they began to thirst, and they began to search, and they began to look. And these things are fulfilled, and isn't it a glorious doctrine when we can see the completeness of it that there is in the Son of God, the salvation of the Church of God. I believe that that's what we're everyone more interested in this morning than anything I know of, and that is salvation. That's the theme, that's the essence of the matter, and aren't we glad that that rests in the hands of one that not only has brought salvation. Let me tell you, people, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born over in Bethlehem of Judea, he wasn't born to become anything. He wasn't born to become anything, but he was born a Savior. And I'm going to tell you something else. He's never offered anything to anybody either. He's never offered salvation to any man. He offered himself once to his Father, and that offering was accepted and forever perfected then that God had given into his Son. And aren't we glad that we believe that there'll come a time when God's people, these things that we mentioned a while ago, they'll be done away with. Every little child of grace will sing his praises in perfection, brethren. That's when the fullness of it will be revealed. May God bless you.
The afternoon services were not recorded.